Good morning. Happy Father's Day. And we are so glad that you made it to the house of God on a Sunday morning. Are you glad to be here on a Sunday morning? Amen. Amen. If we could all stand. It is such an honor to be here on Father's Day. We are celebrating and honoring all of our earthly fathers. And we will be having gifts and giveaways here today. But first and foremost, we are going to give honor to our earthly father in the house. This morning, we're going to be able to worship and going to praise. So if we could, before the worship and the music begins, can we just begin to lift up our hands all across this building? And can we just begin to worship our King of Kings right now for being good? In Jesus' name.
Yeah. on the Lord this morning. Come on. Come on, let's continue to worship Him in this house. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, He's worthy. I said He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallleluya. Man, I know it. A scripture that gets thrown around a lot on the pulpit, but David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. That means David said, I was glad that somebody woke up this morning and said, it's time to get dressed and it's time to go to the house of the Lord, where there's liberty, where there's refuge, and it's time to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you glad that you've come to the house of the Lord this morning? Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Good to see everybody here this morning. Praise the Lord. We'd like to go ahead and remember our prayer request list this morning. Amen. Let's remember Sister Sonia Carter, Brother Eric Dozier, Brother and Sister Charles Fleming. Amen. Sister Dee Dee Freeland, Brother and Sister Griffith this morning. Praise the Lord. Kenny Ham, Sharon Little, Michael Malone. Amen. Georgia McCall, Mandy Stinson. Praise the Lord. Cody Sullivan and Billy Trinado. Praise the Lord. Let's remember our missionary in the nation of Israel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's remember all of our political leaders this morning. Amen. That they can have wisdom to make the right decisions. Amen. For our country. Praise the Lord. Let's not forget about all of those on the prayer list. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have an unspoken request this morning, why don't we just begin to take these needs and all these names before the Lord, and let's just lift them up in prayer this morning. Lord, we love you.
Beautiful, it's pride.
lost any power. It can wash you clean today, just like it did the first time that it was shed. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved me even when I was still a sinner. You saw me and you called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. In Jesus' name, thank you for your blood. Hallelujah. Praise God. May be seated for a moment. Don't get comfortable. We have some announcements, and our ushers are going to come and take our tithe and our offering. That we have our Father's Day raffle ends today, and I believe the drawing is today. We have on June 22nd and 29th will be our Equip Leadership Gathering. On Sunday p.m. there will be no service, and all who service or want to serve are invited to attend. I'm sure Brother Pastor Davis will make more announcements about that and answer any questions that you have. On Wednesdays, JAMS, our last class is going to be June 25th. JAMS returns in September, so do not worry. JAMS is coming back. On July 1st will be our Mother's Memorial. We're going to be due. And then we have July 2nd, 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th. Like, I can't remember that. It's every Wednesday. Every Wednesday of July is going to be VBS, Vacation Bible School. The theme is True North. And we are so excited to have VBS. It is a great opportunity just to get plugged in, get involved, and to help, and to see God work in young people's lives. And you'll be blessed. I've seen some youth kids get, he was 18 years old, his birthday. He got filled with the Holy Ghost at a VBS, all right? God moves at VBS. And so we are going to see great things. There's no fees. Register online. You can use the QR code. And if you have any information or have any questions, please see Sister Victoria King or Christy English. And we are going to have a great, great summer at the UPC of Paris. Amen. Praise God. If the ushers could come, we're going to take our tithe and our offering. We're going to pray over this offering and over this service. And God's going to move in a mighty way in your life if you want it to be you. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your presence. God, thank you for what you are going to do, what you are doing now. God, I pray that you move throughout this place and bless what's given, bless the giver, and anoint us to receive your word and respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've got nothing new. How could I? Gratitude, I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end. Yet you never do, so I throw up my for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
I've got worse woes, I've got just for you. Yeah.
Oh, hands together and worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. I want us to do something right quick. Just stay where you are, sister. Today is Father's Day, and we're going to honor our earthly fathers today. We're excited to do that. But today, we've come to honor our Heavenly Father. And I really do want him to know, and I want you to make this prayer today. You're worthy of it all.
Come on.
Could you pray that right now? Help me pray. You're worthy of it all. Guess what, folks? From for you are all things. He deserved all. Well, that sounds beautiful today. Would you sing that one more time? You're worthy of it all. Come on, sing that to the Lord today. Everything we have, everything we are comes from, amen, from him, amen, hallelujah, praise God. Love what I feel in the house today. Thank God for his presence that's here. I said it Wednesday night, I'll say it again today, that the Holy Ghost can move even on Father's Day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Y'all believe that? It's quite a quiet year today, but the Holy Ghost can still break out in this house. Amen, amen. So good to be in service today. God bless you for being here, and we are honored to have you. Happy Father's Day to every father in the room today, and whether you have children biologically or perhaps you've been a spiritual father to somebody, we honor you today. Can we give our fathers a hand today? Thank God for every dad in the room. Amen. I know lots of folks are out today with their fathers other places, but I'm so thankful you made the United Pentecostal Church a part of your day. And I do want to say at the outset that it's so good to have my dad with us today, my father, Aubrey. Yeah, amen. Rhonda, love and appreciate him. Amen. He's still, whether he believes or not, he's still my favorite preacher. This is how you know a great preacher. Now, I can preach stuff for 30 years, and you don't remember a word I said. But I was always taught all my life, great sermon titles stick with you. And I can remember titles as a boy that my daddy would preach. Titles like Standing on the Threshold of Eternity. Jesus is in the house preaching to a conference of 10,000 people in Columbia, South America. Mama scanned the audience, and people literally jumping over rails trying to get to the altar because Jesus was in the room that day. Message is like, my name is Victory. Man, it shaped me. I've told this church, and Dad probably don't like this, but I've told it on Friday nights. I'll never forget, as long as I live, seeing my dad spin down the center aisle. And as he passed by me, he was speaking in tongues, and it sounded like crackling flames. That's apostolic. Thank God for my father. I love you, Dad, so much. I honor you. Appreciate you. And today is the first day in 26 years that our entire family has been in one service together. My sister got married in 98 to a guy from Oregon. Now, we love liberals, and he's a conservative, so but the lib state of Oregon got her for 20-something years, and we're glad they're back in the great state of Texas. But so good to have my sister Jennifer, her husband Eddie, my Gordon, all I don't want to name folks, but all my family, I love y'all so much. So glad to have you in service today. And we're just honored to be here today. And I think God wants to talk to us and help us today. Amen? You believe that? Amen. Now, I understand today that my task is a little bit challenging at times because not everyone has maybe had the greatest experience with fathers in your life, and perhaps your earthly father wasn't what maybe you thought it should have been, or maybe it wasn't what it was supposed to be. And the great thing about God is, and we'll touch on this at the end of the message, is that our Heavenly Father, He's got room for everybody. Amen. To be one of His kids. And we're so thankful that He loves us with an never-ending love. And we're so grateful for His presence and for His power and His anointing today. And I'm going to read a scripture today at the outset that you've perhaps heard many times in your life. And I'm sure you've heard it regarding finances. And that is what it means in proper context. But there's a spiritual principle that can be applied from the scripture. Paul is talking to his young son in the gospel, Timothy. And he makes this statement to him in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household. Now listen how serious this is. He has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Paul said, if anyone, speaking of the men here, do not provide for his own, and especially for those in his immediate household, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. Paul was talking about the importance of providing for your family's physical needs in context, food, shelter, care. Back in biblical times, that was especially important for widows who had nobody else to care for them. But the principle or the message behind the verse in 1 Timothy 5:8 still applies to us today. And that is, a real man of God takes responsibility for those who he's been entrusted with, not just by putting food on a table, that's all important and it's biblical, but also, where we're going today, leading spiritually, loving consistently, and living faithfully. I love this statement I read that said this: provision is more than money. Provision is showing up in every way that matters. And I want to talk to every father in the room today on simply what good fathers do. What good fathers do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this awesome praise team that led us into your presence. God, I pray the Holy Ghost meet with us for a few minutes today. God, bless this sweet crowd today. Let the Holy Ghost speak to us. Talk to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said amen. It feels a little tight. Turn around, shake somebody's hand. Tell them it's okay to worship. It's okay to, just kind of breathe a little bit right now. Amen. It's good to be in church. Thank you, Sister Kelly. Amen, amen. Praise God. God bless you in Jesus' name. You can only be seated if you help me preach. Amen. You're dismissed, or you're seated in Jesus' name. That's how you start service. Amen. Amen. What good fathers do. Good God. What I'm about to say, I'm sure, could no doubt be said for every previous generation, but in my opinion, it rings truer today than at any point in human history. And that is, if there were ever a time where we need strong fathers in the home, it is now in 2025. And the men said amen. I'm not here today to preach per se about your work ethic, although that is important. I'm not here to list all the statistics regarding fatherhood, but I am preaching today from the spiritual side of fatherhood to prayerfully, in Jesus' name, awaken the God-called Father on the inside of you, who God is calling you, sir, and me, to lead our families in every way. I want to read a verse to us this morning, and when you hear it, you'll most likely form an opinion in your mind based off of how you've heard it all of your life. And the way you heard it taught was not wrong per se, but I want to prayerfully expand our thinking on this verse. Paul said in Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Now,
I want to put a disclaimer here because I'm by no means attacking anyone who has struggled with identity issues, but I want to point out a glaring fact this morning. The reason why there is so much confusion right now in the world over identity, gender identity, why there is so many attacks on the traditional role of fatherhood is because of what we see right here. Paul said, do not be conformed. In other words, we're not to be a people who copy the behavior and the customs of others around us that might not be good. Instead, it tells us to let God change our way of thinking to know what is good and what is pleasing to Him. And Paul said, if we will do so, we will know what the perfect will of God is. One of the things today that is under great attack in America is fatherhood in this great nation. And it's been for a long time because the devil knows a fatherless home is a vulnerable home. And the hot topic is the need for men, for fathers to be who they were created to be. The media and Hollywood, the government at times has, they don't get to choose nor decide how fathers should act. Or I'll take it a step farther. What defines a father? But the Word of God is our final authority. And there is a great need for us to revert back to the foundation on which has the church has been built on regarding fatherhood. I want to tell all of you something this morning in love. The devil cannot manifest himself as a person because he is a spirit. So what he does is he will use people who are open to his deceit and he will use them. How does he do this, preacher? He does it through television. He does it through Facebook, radio, podcasts, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, you name it, it's there. He's taken these vices at times and he's used them over time to tear down the role of fatherhood in front of our eyes. If you watch any sitcom, you watch anything on a Netflix or whatever, lots of times we're seeing in America right now that dads are shown as clueless. Media often portrays fathers as bumbling or incompetent, making them look incapable of parenting or handling responsibilities. We see lots of the media world having fathers as missing or weak-minded, and many shows and many movies leave out strong father figures altogether, sending the message that dads aren't needed. And lots of times they only show the negative traits. They show the fathers as distant, as angry, as controlling, which builds a one-sided negative stereotype. And often dads' authorities are mocked. Just stay with me for a few minutes. Oftentimes we see in culture today that what you see on the screen, dads' authorities are mocked. In family sitcoms, dads are often the punchline with their leadership or their opinions being dismissed by the kids or the spouses. And lots of times the traditional dad is seen as outdated. Media sometimes paints the traditional masculinity as out of place. And for whatever reason, they make fathers feel responsible and they feel like these traditional fathers are out of step with today's culture. So when I tell you that there is a need for men not to conform to this world and not to listen to the world and the propaganda that's being spewed out of these vices, it's right now in the year of 2025. We need strong fathers like never before. I know this isn't a political rally and a campaign, but I'm going to tell you, we need men right now who refuse to bow to what the culture said is normal. No, no, no. Traditional fatherhood is still right. It's still godly. It's still biblical. And it's still needed for sure in the apostolic church. Amen. We need real
fathers who will fulfill their role. That is what good fathers do. I run the risk today of sounding maybe crass and rude, and I hope I'm not perceived that way, but I'm willing to be labeled as such for this topic, because good fathers in 2025, they must push back against what the world has tried to tear down and called old-fashioned and called out of date. Before this movement that's sweeping our world right now ever started trying to dismantle fatherhood, before this spirit began trying to tear the home apart by dismantling the father, our source for everything, our compass for direction, it teaches us what good fathers do. Joshua stood at a place of demarcation, and he looked at the nation of Israel, and he made up his mind, and he said these words: I may not be able to control you, but one thing I made up my mind for, and that is this: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, you can do what you want to do, you can go where you want to go, but I made up my mind, as a good father, I'm going to let my babies know, my wife knows, this is what we're going to do up in this room. We're going to serve God on Sunday and on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and Friday. That's just what we do. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, he said, be watchful. I love this. Stand firm in the faith. And I want your wives to turn to your spouse and tell them what Paul said. Act like men. God, that was so weak. Where were you at today? My God, turn to your spouse and say, would you act like a man? I can get a divided house in here right now. Paul was saying this. Now, I'm careful what I say. Again, if you perceive me as rude, well, talk to me after church. Not now, after church. Paul was saying, we ain't got no time for sissies in the house. Paul was saying, you better act like a man. That means stand up, square your shoulders, and be the man that God called you to be. You can wear a suit. You can wear Wranglers and boots. I don't care what you wear. Just act like a man. Now, hang on for all you tough rednecks who don't want the next part of the verse. He said, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Listen to this. Let all that you do be done in love. So the lovey side's there too. He said, hear me, it's scripture. You can't be strong and not have love. Because strong men that don't have love end up being someone who's a dictator over the home. Uh-oh, I feel a rambling spirit. The word says, hey men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He gave himself for the church. He said, you don't just be strong like a dictator. That's stupid. He said, you be loving and you be strong. Strong men say, we're going to make it through this trial, baby. Strong men say, just grab me by the hand and let's dance one more circle. Y'all ain't feeling it right now. It's Father's Day, and I feel a Father's Day spirit here. But the Lord wants to tell you, you can be a strong man even now in the face of the culture that says it's not popular, it's not right. That's just what good fathers do. Well, glory. Solomon said, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. What's that mean? It's saying that a father's personal character and his consistency, it leaves a lasting impact. A man who lives with integrity. What's that mean? Doing what's right even when nobody's watching. A man who lives with integrity. What's he do? He creates a spiritual covering and a moral example that doesn't just bless him, but it blesses his children. Listen to this. Long after he's gone. The word walks in this verse, it implies a daily, ongoing lifestyle. Not perfection, but steady, godly living. It talks about integrity. That means it speaks of wholeness and honesty and faithfulness and moral courage. The blessing doesn't just mean material things. That's way beside the point. But it's about favor.
It's about having stability and a spiritual inheritance and a good name passed on to the next generation in a world that says fatherhood is outdated. Solomon said to us, a father who lives righteously doesn't just impact today. He's sowing blessing into his children's tomorrow. I want it to be said long after I go, I still see his worship in her. I still see his praise in his grand. What is that? That's what a good father does. He lives behind a rich heritage, a godly heritage. So it's vital today that every father here brush aside the noise of the world, brush aside the noise of media that tries to tread down fatherhood, and take a stand and lead your family. And don't worry about, hear me right now, don't worry about leading your business well per se. Don't worry about leading your savings account well. Don't worry about leading and being the best salesman today, but lead your family first. That's what good fam fathers do. They lead even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, even when it feels like it's going to kill them. Amen. That great man Abraham in the scripture, the father of the faithful, that father of many nations, God told Abraham to take his one and only son Isaac and to crucify or to sacrifice him on an altar. You talk about gut-wrenching. You talk about a hard pill to swallow. You talk about, Lord, that's my promise, boy. You told me you would bless me through my boy. Are you serious, God? Why are you demanding I take Isaac? Why are you telling me to take my baby? But Abraham, hear me right now, being a good father, listening to his heavenly father, obeying the call and the leading of his father, the next morning, the Bible says, he got up with his boy and his servants, and they started their journey. And as they're going up the mountain, I love this part, as they're going up the mountain, Isaac says to his father, Father, I see the fire, I see the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham, that great father who knew what it was to walk with the Lord, he never missed a beat. And he said, my son, the Lord, he will provide. He said, son, I've provided all that I can right now. But there's some days the only thing I know to do is to make my way to the altar and just have faith that God's going to provide. I want to help a daddy right now. I feel it in the Holy Ghost, who you feel like you don't have the answers. And you're trying to find out, what do I do? What do I say? Let me help you right now. Take them by the hand and tell them, let's walk this thing out together. God will provide in due season. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He is a way maker. He is a promise keeper. What Abraham exemplified was this. You have to lead even though it's hard. You have to lead even though it don't make sense. You have to lead your family. And in doing so, God will provide. God will make a way. That is what good fathers do. What else do good fathers do? I preached about this Wednesday night. We practiced it and God blessed us. But I want to tell you what a good father does. A good father provides an example on how to worship. That's what good fathers do. Good fathers know what it is. And I'm not just speaking about stepping out in the aisle and worship, but worship's a whole lot deeper than you just lifting your hands and clapping your hands and jumping up and down. But worship is a lifestyle. Worship is who they see at home and at church. Hello. I said worship is who they see at home and at church. And then when we get up in this house, worship is what comes out of your soul. That's why I say, and I'm gonna press on you a little bit right here on Father's Day, but that's why I say it is, on top of that, the will of God for men to get out in the aisle and worship. I've had two men say, It is the will of God for men to lead their families in praise. The apostolic movement, I said it Wednesday night, the apostolic movement has been carried on the back at many times of apostolic, thank God, apostolic women in their prayer, in their worship, in their praise. But if there was ever a day where we need men who know what it is to pray until God breaks it, to worship until God moves it, to trust God until God does it, it's right now in this hour, in this church, in this day. I combat that lie from hell that tells you if I do that, I'll look foolish. You looked at stupid playing softball last week and you still played. My God, what in the world's wrong with us today? We can still move and worship. We can still praise God and worship. That's just what good fathers do. I'm going to tell you what a good father does. A good father loves even when they walked away. A good father holds out hope even when hope seems like it's all gone. The Bible says that good father of the prodigal son who left, who walked away, he never stopped loving him, listen to me, and he never stopped looking for him. The Bible says that good father stood at the road every single day looking and hoping and anticipating that today could be the day. I feel it in my spirit. Hear me, somebody, right now. It is of most importance to you that you keep your position in the body of Christ and you keep looking down that road saying, I just believe this could be the service. This could be the moment they come back home. This, why? Because I'm standing guard saying, God, I don't know when. I don't know how, but a good father stands and says, there's coming a day, I just know they're gonna. What is that? That's love. You can't explain that. That's love. As a matter of fact, that's what your heavenly father did for you when you ran from God for 25-30 years. When you came back to the altar, he said these words, I've been waiting a long time for you, come on back in. And for some of you right now, you've got spouses, you've got kids, you've got grandkids who have walked away. Don't stop looking, don't stop hoping, don't stop believing. That's what good fathers do. Amen. And to think that a good father, scripture says that our father, our heavenly father, he stepped out eternity. He robed himself in flesh. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again. And why did he do it? He said it to us, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So I can tell you affirmatively today that if you were not raised with a good father, if you didn't have a good example, there is one who is mightier than I. There is one who is higher than I who sent me to tell you he's never stopped loving you. He's never stopped reaching for you. He's never stopped sending his word to you. Why, preacher? That's just what a good father does. He says, you can trust me. He's a good father who will not drop you. He will not let you go. He will not forget about you. He will not write you off. He will not hold your mistakes over your head. That's what a good father does. Instead, he tell you today, I'm not worried about where you've been. I'm only concerned about where you are headed. I'm only concerned about your tomorrow. I want to give somebody hope right now, because I know condemnation will knock you upside the head. Condemnation will stomp you in the ground, but a good father will not kick you down. A good father will not bury you. A good father will tell you, let me dust it off of you. Let me help you get back on your feet. I know you've been running, but I'm here today to give you life and to give it more abundantly. That's just what good fathers do. Scripture tells us in Isaiah 64, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. He says, God has been hovering over you. Man can't even perceive what God is doing. God is working, he said, for those who trust him, even when they cannot see it. Scripture says, he, this good father, will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The psalmist said, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up. Zephaniah said, the Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Thessalonians said, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And Philippians said it this way, a good father does this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, he will completed. I want to give you hope and tell you, he's still working on you. He's still reaching for you. He's still doing all he can to pick you up off the bottom and tell you, I'm a good father to you. Even though it don't seem right now, you got it together. I'm going to put you back together if you let me work on you. Come on, I'm fighting a spirit right now. I don't know what's going on right now, but the Lord's trying to tell somebody, I've come to give you hope today. I've come to give you freedom today, that this is not where it ends for you. This is not the end of your life. When I should have been dead, that Heavenly Father, he stepped in and he kept me. Amen. When I should, I feel it again today. You got to just, I know it's Father's Day, but just hang with the preacher. When I should have ended it all 13 years ago in that trailer house on 4 Suncrest Circle Drive in Jasper, Texas, only thing I can tell you is the Holy Ghost intervened on my behalf. Only thing I can tell you is that heavenly, that good, good Father, he stepped in the room and he let me know that this is not where it ends for you. And when he got a hold of me that night, I ain't looked back ever since. Hear me right now. And from that night to this, I hated I had to deal with it. But from that night to this, I can tell when that spirit's trying to torment somebody, because for whatever reason, God gave me that discernment. I hated I had to walk through it. But if I can spare a family right now, hear this preacher right now, there's a good father here right now who wants to tell you, you don't have to end it all. This is not where it ends. I've got the keys to unlock that prison cell that you've been locked up in and you felt like you couldn't escape. There's a good father in this house. Somebody hear me right now in the Holy Ghost. God's going to pick you up off the bottom today if you let him pick you up. God's going to rescue today if you let him rescue you. Well, well, well. I told you at the church that I was praying. I'm talking about, and I know I'm on a tangent right now. You just stay with the preacher. I'm telling you, 12 years. Heaviness, darkness, couldn't get up, it seemed like. Didn't want to see nobody, didn't want to talk to nobody. I made myself preach. I'd go home, I'd cry myself to sleep, discouraged, upset, trying to fight. A man years ago had told me this would happen to me, but I didn't know it'd be that bad. And I'm talking about heaviness, discouragement. I'll never forget the day my wife called me and said, I was praying. She said, remember that story you told about Houdini and how he was locked up in that prison? Remember I told you that story before? Houdini, the great man who he could escape anything, any straitjacket, any cuff. They called him to a cell in Europe and said, we found a prison you cannot get out of. He worked. They put him in straitjackets, cuffs, hung him upside down. They said within minutes he escaped from the straitjacket, the cuffs. He was free of that. He went to the prison door. He worked on it for hours. The story says for hours he picked at the lock, but he could not open it. With beads of sweat coming down his face, he told the guard, I cannot open this door. And in frustration, he leaned against the door. And when he did, the door propped open. And the guard said, sir, you've been trying to pick a lock that was already open. All you had to do was push on it.
Anyway, you could get out of that thing. And my wife called me at the church. I was praying depressed. And she don't ever say, the Lord said. And she said, the Lord said, I listen. She said, the Lord said, you're like that man. You've been on the door trying to get out. But if you push yourself out of that thing, you can walk out and have freedom from depression and freedom from those spirits that I'm going to tell somebody right now. You've been trying to pick on a lock of depression and oppression. And the Lord said, I've done paid the price. Why don't you step out of it and say, I refuse to stay hostage. What? Somebody's family, I'm telling you, it depends on you walking up out of the door. That's what a good father does. I wish I had a dad right now that say, not on my watch, devil. You will not steal my babies. You will not steal my family. That's what a good father does. Hallelujah. We can come to the piano, please. Let's all stand. You understand? I've said it last week. It was Job's one decision to not curse God that got him back double and 10 more babies in the house. It was Job saying, I know I'm down. I know I feel like I've been kicked to the curb. I know I feel like this is the end, but I refuse. Why, Job? Because I learned something. He said, naked came I in this world, and naked shall I return. But I'm going to do something I was born to do. I was born to bless his name. I was born to worship even when everything's taken, even when everything's not fair and it's not right. I'm going to be a father. I'm going to stand and tell Sister Job, honey, it don't make sense right now, but God's going to provide. God's going to come through. And in due season, hear me, the Bible tells us, don't be weary, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I come against that spirit of heaviness that's trying to come on dads in this house and tell you you're a nobody and tell you you're nothing. No, sir, that's a lie from hell. You are a mighty man of God, and you've got everything it takes to rise above the hell and the chaos in your life. The race is not to the swift, but it's to the one that, say it loud, men, that endures to the end. It's not about batting 100 every day. It's just getting up and saying, at least I swung today. I told you, baseball is the only sport that freaks me out. You can hit 30% and be considered an incredible hitter. That means out of 10 swings, if you hit it three times, man, that's a slugger right there. That don't make sense to me. But it makes perfect sense in this here. Micah said, I love it, rejoice not against me, oh mine enemy. Hear me, men. For when I fall, what's he say? No, I ain't a baseball player. Jathan's a baseball player. He said, when I fall, I'm going to get back up. And one more time, I'm going to try to hit over the fence. And if I fall tomorrow, devil, and if I find myself in darkness, rejoice not against me, oh, my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. There's days I'm swinging, can't hit nothing. There's days I'm swinging, can't see nothing. That's okay, Brother Welch. He said, because there's going to be days when it's so dark, you don't know what to do, but hang on. There's a light coming. There's something going to say, here's the way, follow this path. Hear me, Dad. I'm telling you right now, Dad, it may feel like it's the end. It may feel hopeless right now, but God says, swing one more time. Get up one more day. Make up your mind tomorrow. I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. Well, what if I flubbed up? What if I messed up 100 times? Who cares? Don't let the haters bury you in a grave. Don't let all your naysayers try to put you down under the no. I messed up, flubbed up, made a mistake. Oh well, I'm gonna get back up.
And it may be when I'm done, they may say, he only hit 30%. I'd rather hit 30% and go in the gate hearing him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, than giving up today and walking out on God. I've told you 1,000 times, he does not demand perfection. He only requires you head in the right direction. And if you head in the right direction, he'll take, folks, he ain't trying to send you to hell. He's trying his best to get you to heaven. He just wants you to get up and try one more day. Swing one more time. Keep on moving. Keep on going. I close with this. We went fishing yesterday, Brother Newberry. Those coordinates worked. I won't tell anybody. Okay, secret agent stuff right here. If you ask me, you got to pay me $1,000. I'll give you tithe on that. He said, Brother Brad, he said, if you'll put these coordinates in, there's a brush pile out there. There's some fish over there. Well, that's all he had to tell me. Put it in my phone. My dad and I and our kids, we're like the Brady Bunch going that way. I had a bad body pile on that boat. You know what? This was crazy. I bet you if I was a betting man, I don't bet, but if I was a betting man, I bet you a clean $100 bill, we probably dropped the line 200 times in the water. We fought. We didn't catch 100 crappie. Wish to God we would have. But we caught 5 good crappie, good ones, and a huge largemouth bass. Hear me. And that, those 6 catch kept us there hours going after one more. Drop it over and over. Why did you quit? Because I got one bite. And one bite said, this may be it over here. Yeah. And one bite, I couldn't get his trolling motor to work. I put that boat 300 times in circles around that lake trying to find that crazy brush pile over and over. And we finally found it over. And each time we go past it, I got one over here. Hear me, Dad. Some of you have swung 300 times and you've hit the ball 5 times. But what keeps me coming back to this house is I've had moments, Brother Stephen, God, you got to preach that message again. I've had moments where the Holy Ghost would arrest me in a service. And I'd go, oh, God, I can't leave now. I've had days where I was at my breaking point. I can take you to Lufton District Camp Meeting when Shane Burns came to me 2-3 years ago and got a hold of me and God arrested me in the altar. And it gave me hope to go one more year. And I can hear me, 12 years of that depression I told you before, last year, a new convert. I know new converts ain't supposed to hear from God, but they do. Yeah. A new convert came with Eccles. He said, Brother Brad, she said, when you was preaching today, she said, I don't know why, but the Lord said to you, you got to claim that freedom. I thought, I knew what she's talking about. And I thought, oh, God, I've heard. She said, and she said, Jesus does love you. I said, oh, I need to hear that too. I went home, and for the first time in 12 years, I felt something switch in my brain. And I went from heaven, and everything felt light. I thought, how that happened so fast? On Tuesday, I felt it come back on me. I thought, man, I thought God could set me free of this forever. And Wednesday night, I'm preaching, and I heard her yell out. I thought, oh, God, what is she doing? I thought, oh, this is not good. New convert, you know, professional saints, we know how to act. Probably should get delivered of that, but we know how to act. She yelled out, oh! And I thought, oh, God. After church, she beelined me. She said, Brother Brad, I don't know why, but again, he said to tell you, you better claim that freedom. And like that, for the first time, I swung 1,000 times trying to get out of it. I shouted 50,000 times in an altar call when preachers would say, lift your hands, worship, just stomp on the... I did everything they told me to do. But for whatever reason, hear me, Dad, there was one moment. And I look back now, a year, and I'll go to my grave thanking God for Bridget, who heard from the Lord. Wasn't no preacher, wasn't no well-known personality, just a word from God. So I'm telling a dad again today, you've swung 400 times and you've hit 5 or 6, but those 5 or 6 are why you're here right now. And the Holy Ghost, I feel it, says just drop it over the boat one more time.
I dare you just to cast the line one more time and see if that good Father can come to where you are and give you a breakthrough in this house. I think it'd be good we close this way. It's 11:20. We're still early. How about, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to call you out. I think it'd be good. If every father that's here, if your dad's not here for whatever reason, that's okay. Find your friend. Find you someone to link up with today. That's okay. But if there's fathers and families, I want fathers and families to come to the altar together today. Can we do that right now? Let's all step out. And let's just come together. All we're going to do is pray. But I want fathers. Again, if your father's not here, please know there is a heavenly Father who wants to reach down to where you are. And I want you to find somebody, link up with them, join their hands, get in a circle, however you want to do it. That's okay. But if there's any fathers and families today, would you please just come to the front? And dads, I want you to pray. And I want you to lead your family today. I want you to pray a blessing over your family, over your kids, over your grandkids, over your wife today. That's what a good father does. Come on, you feel like you've been kicked down. You feel like you've swung 1,000 times. You've cast the line over and over, and nothing seems to work. But I'm telling you, do it one more time. Swing one more time, Dad. Pray one more prayer over them. Come on, dads. Come on, dads. Don't let culture, don't let the devil paint you into some stupid picture that you have to be some. No, no. We believe in being masculine, godly, Holy Ghost-filled men. That's what this church needs. That's what this city needs. And more importantly, that's what your family needs. I'm not talking about being something that you're not. I'm just talking about being authentic. Just be you. Just be real. I promise you, God can do a whole lot more with the real you than the fake you. Amen. That's what good fathers do. Amen. I challenge you, Dad. I challenge you. Lead your family in prayer. Amen. Lead your family back to the house of God on Wednesday night. Lead your family to the prayer room. Amen. Let them hear you pray in your home. I promise you that will work in your favor like you wouldn't believe if they hear the cries of a mom and dad praying in a home somewhere. Amen. I know it's foreign sometimes because we think church is the only place, but I promise you church should be the last place. Home should be the first place. Amen. Praise God. God bless you in the name of Jesus. We love you. Amen. Thank you for coming to church on a Sunday. Amen. 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 More importantly, God loves you more than anything in the world. Amen. 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 God bless you. We're going to transition just for a couple of minutes today. I didn't do any thing, drawings, what have you, during our main service, but I want to do this at the end. If that's okay, could you maybe make your way back to your seat? We've got a few things we want to give to some dads. And my father-in-law sold $400,000 in raffle tickets, and we're going to get those away today. My wife will take care of this part here, but just one announcement. So after service, there is a gift for every dad on the table. And please grab you a bag back there before you leave. The Outreach Alliance has made cotton candy today. We love cotton candy, right? And that's great. So, yeah, so men, grab you a bag of cotton candy before you leave. So thankful for them and their efforts. God bless them. And I'll let my wife take care of this part here.
Okay, we have some drawings for our men today. Our first category was sportsmen. Sportsmen fathers out there, maybe. Brian Kelso. Okay, our second drawing is our outdoorsman father. Dexter Dozier. Okay, our foodies, our dads that enjoy some good food.
Tuxes.
Thank you, Father.
Awesome. Let's all stand. Amen. Amen. Did this raise over $1,500 for this thing? Thank God for that. Give them a hand for that. That's awesome. Yeah. They'll get a gun. That's always right in Texas to get a gun. And amen. Amen. God bless you folks for being in the house of the Lord. Happy Father's Day. Dads, we love you. Lord willing, we'll see you back here on Wednesday night. Brother Jacob Kelso is preaching. Don't want to miss that service. It's going to be a great service Wednesday night. God bless you in Jesus' name. We'll see you back here Wednesday night.